Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. In this episode, we're featuring an interview we conducted with Alfonso Abeda, his wife Martha, along with their amigo Armando Marquez. Together, they have overseen a remarkable creation, El Santiario de los Pobladores. This is a spectacular spiritual adobe sanctuary and labyrinth located in Conejos across the parking lot there from Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish, the oldest Catholic church in Colorado. Here's Alfonso explaining El Santiario.
Explain to us first why you started it or why the project began. Tell us the first part.
Well, about 12 years ago, or approximately 12 years, I don't know the exact, Josephine Salazar, she was the aunt of the Salazares over here, you know, John Salazar and them, okay? She donated $46,000 to the church, but she wanted to have something to do with the people that her dad did.
Settlers.
Settlers, okay? That's the word I was trying to use. Settlers, because she was raised by her grandfather, and he was one of the first settlers there in Conejos. And she donated $46,000 so we could do something in memory of the settlers. Well, we didn't know what to do. You know, we could have made a statue of a settler or whatever it is. And one of the members of the of our committee, we hadn't formed a committee yet, but he said, you know, he says, Ronald Rail is an architect and he teaches at Berkeley University. Why don't we call him and see what we could, if he has any ideas what we could do. So we called Ronald Rail and he says, you know, he says, I walked through a labyrinth in Spain and I'll design it what I can remember seeing, Ronald Rail. So he designed the labyrinth that we call the labyrinth. That's a history of where it started.
So I've been watching this project over the last 5 years, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And where it is today in 2026 versus where it was in 2021 is just a miracle in the progress you've made. And I don't know if you're done, but if you can just kind of go through the construction. I know there was like 40,000 bricks that were placed, adobe bricks that you made. I was out there and watched some of that. Just kind of take us through the project, the construction, and everything that went into it.
Okay, so they really didn't know, we really didn't know what to do. I wasn't even part of the committee, but I joined my wife and the committee, and we decided that we were going to do a labyrinth, according to Ronald Rail gave us the idea, and he designed it for us. So that's where it started. And I volunteered to ramrod the thing because I had retired from the telephone company and I couldn't stand it at home anymore.
Couldn't stand it at home, or your wife couldn't stand you at home?
She couldn't stand it. It worked both ways. Okay? But anyway, we formed a bigger committee and we went ahead and started. Ronald Rail gave us the plans. We did the concrete the first year, you know, to lay the concrete. And then we decided to go do it with adobes instead of brick. That's the way the settlers would have done it. So I went ahead and got the forms from the Metro Valdez. He used to sell adobes there in Antonito, but he had quit selling, so I borrowed his forms to do the adobes.
What gave you the confidence that you could actually build what Ronald Rael designed? Because that is a very sophisticated labyrinth that he designed. It's not a simple design. What gave you the belief that you could actually make it come to life, which you did?
Well, I ran a large crew with a telephone company before I retired, Mountain Bell. I started off with Western Electric, which we run a large crew there too to install in the telephone equipment throughout the valley. We converted the all of the offices here in the valley from mechanical to digital, and I was a supervisor over that. And then I transferred to Taos, New Mexico, and I had all of the northern New Mexico. I had the crews from Farmington clear to Raton, clear down the line. And then I retired, and like I said, I had to do something constructive. So I volunteered to run the crew. I went and put together, hired local kids. One of the persons that I really felt sorry for, because he was from a broken home, and he was a football player for my son. He was a coach. Dylan Cisneros. And I called him, and he says, "Yeah, I need a job." And then I hired his brother, and then I hired several other people, and we started making adobes.
How many bricks did you end up laying, and how challenging was that part of the project?
Well, when we first started, we had a small mixer. It was in a truck, but we could only make like 150 adobes a day if we were lucky. And I knew that wasn't going to work. So I went to the local construction company, Robbins Construction. I says, "What would it take for you, when you're not delivering cement, to mix our dirt?" And he said, "Dirt will wash better than your cement." He said, "Oh, that's right. Let's try it." So instead of doing 150 a day, we were doing pretty close to 150 to 1,000 some a day, because we had the forms. Mm. And at first they started cracking my adobes, so I didn't know what the heck to do, you know. And so I went to an old timer that I knew that used to do adobes from my dad's property when I was still a little boy, and he said passed away already, and he says, "You have too much clay." I says, "Well, I will take the dirt to the lab and see how much clay we have on that." And I says, "Hell with go taking it to the lab." He says, "Get a jar, fill the 3/4 full of water, put the dirt that you're going to use. The dirt will go down, the clay will stay on top, and the dirt will go down to the bottom. And figure out how much a percentage, that's the way you will, that's what you need." And he says, "Pero, ¿pa qué está buscando?" In Spanish, "¿Pa qué está buscando tierra? Yo hacía adobes en el lugar de tu papá." The town of Antonito hauled the dirt for us, free of charge, from my dad's place. And sure enough, we didn't have any more crack adobes.
Wow. Jump in here and give us some more perspective of the project itself and your involvement with it and how it all came together from what you've seen.
Well, when I came on board probably about 3.5 years ago, I thought all the hard work was done. They had all these forms laid out in the field on the south side of the, I call it santuario. For some reason, labyrinth is okay, but I look at it as a sanctuary. But when I went out there, I saw all the activity going on. The big trucks were there, the cement trucks, and they had an auger that would load the dirt, and then they would throw in a little bit of sand and the straw. And there's just a lot of activity was going on. And by at that time, they were just starting to put the walls up. And I was so, I got so into it that, I mean, I was not afraid to get my hands dirty, go out there and help them, whatever they needed, shoveling dirt into the conveyor belt or whatever. And when I found, I mean, it was a simple process, but it was, I could just picture in my mind what our ancestors went through in all the building that they did, all the adobe buildings that are in the valley. Some of them are still up, some partial walls, but their bricks are solid, very solid. So I learned, we got to be really good friends. I guess you'll notice when, you know, our interactions with each other, but we got to be really good friends. So yeah, it's just a matter of time when I got there that I became a board member. And I, of course, I was asked different opinions on the different activities and projects that were going on. We were going to have some benches built for the center of the santuario. And I suggested we just go to the Amish and have some logs cut in half to fit the environment more. So those benches are, like I said, they're rustic. But the whole project, it's like a lot of people have said they've gone there and they feel something. I felt something. I felt like a calling when I first went there to be a part of it. And I think that inner voice in each of us, I'm a very strong Catholic. I didn't used to be. But it seemed like Our Lady brought me back, and she wanted me, because I'm from Capulin. I live, almost 30 miles away from Conejos. But it's no big deal driving there to go help with this project. And I feel my heart's in it big time.
Mrs. Abeda, tell us some of your work with the project and what you led, because I know you also were a big participant at the beginning, and even before I think your husband got involved.
I got involved with the church itself when I retired from the school district, and mainly in the administrative parts of the church, you know, paying accounts and stuff like this. But I was also a member of some of the committees. And so my involvement came when we needed to raise money, have come up with ideas how we were going to raise money. And we had some committees. We had the parish hall committee that evolved into the santuario committee, you know, through time. And we came up with an adobe project where we would sell subscriptions for adobes. And for $100, you could get an adobe and you would be dedicated to whomever you wanted. That was my involvement. Also keeping track, the administration, the records and stuff like that.
How many donors do you have now? I know when I was out there yesterday, I know you were building the donor wall and donor recognition area, and it looked very impressive. Looked like you had a lot.
I think we have pretty close to 1,000 plaques, because we have 4 or 5 boards on both sides filled, and we had to expand it, because we still have some more coming in, because we have a different drive right now. But one of the things that I want to say that was really kind of scary for me was when I was having problems, the adobe cracking, of course, like that, something, I would wake up about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I could actually see a light shine to where the Virgin was going to go. And I even woke her up, because it scared me. And I would have the answer for it.
Wow.
That was the most inspiring thing for me, that I knew the guy upstairs was talking to me. This is what I want.
As you listen more to this interview, we also want you to know that Alfonso fits more into our plans at alamosacitizen.com. Over these past 12 months, starting in April of 2025, we began photographing and collecting oral history around 150 individuals who call the San Luis Valley home. It's a project we call 150 Faces of the San Luis Valley, which we will publish this fall to mark 150 years of statehood for the centennial state of Colorado. Alfonso is one of the 150 faces we captured. His work on El Santiago de los Pobladores will stand for another 100 years. If you haven't visited this place, this labyrinth, you should. After this break, we'll go back to our interview with the Abetas and Armando Marquez.
Just down the road in Antonito, a short drive from Alamosa, climb aboard the historic Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Stream through Colorado's high country in the San Luis Valley. Plan your trip at cumbresandtoltec.com. Support comes from Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. CHFA supports Colorado home ownership and works with a statewide network of lenders. Visit chfainfo.com/yourhome. CHFA is an equal housing lender.
We're back, and here's the rest of the interview.
Now that, I don't know if you're ever done with whatever you're doing over there. I know you have landscaping, but it looks very complete when you go through the El Santiago, when you're walking through there, you're in the different rooms that you have, and you can meditate and reflect, the spiritual space, that all looks complete. And then you're finishing the landscaping and the donor wall, and it all looks very beautiful. And I wonder what your thoughts are now that it is so far along and it looks complete. What are your thoughts after all these years, after doing it?
I would like to answer that. We have got 7 mission churches in the immediate area surrounding Conejos. If you look at different parishes, say San Luis or Capulin or Antonito, they have a mother church. And Conejos is the mother church in Antonito or in Conejos. And then the surrounding communities, we have Lobatos, we have San Antonio, Antonito, San Miguel, Ortiz, Los Mogotes, and San Rafael. Mm-hmm. And 2 of the statues, their own communities took it upon themselves to raise funds for their statue, for their particular statue. Or mission saint. So we have Lobatos and Antonito that have been placed in the courtyard. And Huberto Mestas, he made one, right? And Charles Ewing made the other one?
No, Matthew Gonzalez made the one for Antonito.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Huberto Mestas working to do the other 5 plus the Virgen. But what's taking so long there is a lot of these small communities, you only have 3 or 4 families, and for them to raise $20,000 for a statue, because that's about what they're averaging. The statue of Our Lady is going to be $80,000, plus Juan Diego looking up at her. It's beautiful. We've seen pictures of what it's going to look like.
It's bronze.
Yes.
They're bronze.
And so that's where we're at now. That's what we're focusing on now. But as time goes on, we find different little projects to work on. We're planting more trees.
What would you say to people that want to go visit it, haven't visited? What would you tell them of why to come visit?
I would say that it's a prayer sanctuary. It's not necessary. You don't have to be Catholic to partake. You can come. It's a spiritual journey into the santuario. Our devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe as Hispanics is what we concentrated on you know, with the Virgen statue and Juan Diego. But it's not limited to your participation in the Catholic religion. You can go in there and sit at each one of the depictions of the life of Christ and meditate and get your own spiritual satisfaction from being in there. So it's, if you want to visit and you think it's just a Catholic thing, it isn't, you know, because it's just, it's a sanctuary, you know. You can go in there and just meditate. Just, we've had people come, a group from Colorado Springs of ladies that were not Catholics, but they came with their banners and their music. It was such a moving thing for me because I witnessed it. They sang and they, you know, danced in each of the nichos that we have. It was really, really nice. So it just depends on what you're looking for, okay? If you just want to sit there. We had a person, we found a man sitting or laying down on these things that Armando described, these
benches.
Yeah, he was fast asleep on one of the benches and his car was outside, and you know, you could tell that he was just a transient because just the way his car looked and everything, and he was fast asleep on one of these benches.
It is, so, it is a very yeah. Peaceful when you walk into the labyrinth, when you walk into the Santiago,
it's
when you walk through, it changes you.
Yes,
change.
It does.
I mean, you're in the parking lot, and then you walk into the Santiago, and you start walking through the maze, and
it takes your breath away.
In fact, one day we were sitting, and we were running out of funds. We didn't, it happened to us twice, okay? The first one was the one that had
Rec Transport.
He's a local boy.
Perea.
Armando and I were sitting there thinking, how in the hell are we gonna pay this labor and all that? And he just signaled his wife. He went to the truck, came back, and gave us a check for $25,000.
Wow, it's amazing.
Another time, this couple went through the labyrinth and they were looking at it, and Armando and I were still sitting out there hoping that we could get some money somewhere. And you tell him about our friend that went and played for us.
Yes, it was a young couple, and a lot of folks out there will recognize the name, because we had just sat down, take a break from whatever we were doing, and this couple pulled up in a white van, and I saw when they got out, something about the guy kind of struck me as he looked very familiar. But anyway, they got down, they visited with us a little bit, we described what the Santuario was all about. Then we sat down to visit, and then it clicked. I looked at him and I said, you remind me of John Denver. And this guy's name's Chris Collins. And he looked at his wife and they smiled, and he said, actually, he said, I do John Denver performances all over the country. You do? And he showed a picture on his camera, on his phone. Oh, the place was packed. And I thought John Denver on stage. I said, nope, he said, that's me. So I asked him if he would consider doing a concert for us on site. And he thought about it a little bit. He said, you know what? Yes. So I think it was like 30 days to 45 days later, he did a concert for us.
And I missed that.
Huh?
I missed that.
You missed that. We did advertise it. But yeah, I think we made like $4,000. Mm-hmm. But it was like Alfonso or Mr. Abedo would say, I got to respect him on camera. Mr. Abedo would say, you feel a spiritual thing, you know? And it's like when we're running short of funds, it's like we pray about it and, you know, things like this happen.
Yeah, amazing. Mr. Abate, I want to get a little bit more information on you and your wife. Just tell me a little bit more about where you grew up, where you're from originally, and your life here.
Well, I was born and raised in the house that's still standing there in Cañon. I was raised on a farm, and mainly a sheep. My dad used to raise sheep, and we'd go to the mountains with them, and I would help them herd. You know, me and my brother would herd there when they were in down low, and then we'd send them up to the mountains. So I grew in right now where I live. I grew up as a young man, but I was kind of ornery, as young boys are. And
he still
I remember simply I went in to get my car. My dad told during the week we had to be home by 9 o'clock or better. And of course, wild me chasing women and girls, I should say. And my dad took the keys away from me. And I was so angry, and I remember my dad just backhanded me. And my dad was a sheriff for over 25 years in Conos County, Amos Aveta. Okay, but anyway, I decided I was going to go on the service after that, so I enlisted, and they. I was still in school, and when I went to Denver I enlisted in the Marines. They sent me back so I could graduate. So my dad, I was still very angry at my dad because he wouldn't let me drive anymore because of some young kids, you know, thinking that you'd own the world. And I remember my dad telling me when he took us to Salami, New Mexico to catch the train to go to boot camp. And all he ever told me in 6 months, I hadn't heard anything from my dad. He says, como los hombres. And I still remember that.
Wow. Amazing. Great memory. And Mrs. Abeta, tell me a little bit.
Born and raised in Antonito. Yeah. Family of 12, yeah.
What's your maiden name?
Gallegos.
Gallegos.
Yeah. Went to school in Antonito with his sisters, graduated, went to work in Memphis, Tennessee. I got to see Elvis Presley. I always think of that. But nothing outstanding in my life, you know, just a regular
well, I don't know, you did El Santiago. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, then I came back to Antonito when my dad passed away. And Alfonso and I kind of knew each other. We were married. We have 4 children. And I worked at the school in Antonito. I worked many places.
How long have you been married?
65 years.
All my life.
Yeah. 65 years. And so... we just teamed up together, you know. Alfonso is very dedicated even to this day. You know, we're 88 years old, okay? And so he gets up, he has things to do that he needs to do. I, on the other hand, want to relax and sleep in and whatever. But, you know, we hope that before... God calls us that we will have this project completed. Yeah, and we're still working, trying to get people to feel what we feel for this santuario. You know, the spiritual aspect of it. And we'll continue to do that until we're able to.
It's a beautiful project. Yeah. I think it's probably maybe the most beautiful place in the valley right now. I can't think of any place more special, and something that's new too, but I can't think of anything more special than El Santiago de los Pobladores. I don't think, I can't think of anything more special than that right now.
Thank you.
And
one,
I didn't know there was a Labyrinth Association throughout the United States or throughout, okay?
The world.
The world, really. And this guy came over. I don't know if you were there, Armando, or not, but anyway, and he was one of the members of this association, the Labyrinth Association. He walked and he took pictures and he did a lot of different things. He had a drone that in fact, the picture that I just gave, he took that and he says, I've been through almost every labyrinth in the United States and some in overseas, he says. But this one here is the best built and more inspiring than any labyrinth I've been through.
Yeah.
Special, you know, it really is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a really, really neat place to go visit.
And as you probably noticed, it's very spiritual for me because I wasn't raised Catholic. I became a Catholic when I was in the Marines. I was baptized in Okinawa at sea.
Interesting. Well, I just want to thank you for doing the project. Because again, it's just, I think, just a beautiful, beautiful project. And I love going to visit there. And I do that. Anytime I go south, I always pull in there to spend a little bit of time there. So thank you for doing that.
Thank
it's very
you.
Beautiful.
Thank you for
really beautiful.
For having us here and for whatever good benefits come from this interview and your involvement with the newspaper, the Conejos Citizen. You know, we appreciate that. And just again,
it's good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You've been listening to our episode with Alfonso Abeda and El Santiago de los Pobladores. The Valley Pod is presented by Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad, the Lohr Foundation, and CHAFA, Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. This episode of the Valley Pod was produced by Chris Mondragon and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit AlamosaCitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.